public reading of the Word of God. And if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5, the first 13 verses, and this has to do with the subject this morning at hand, that is the characteristic of kingdom people, are like the first 12 verses referred to as the Beatitudes. And then the real character of all that is that we are salt of the earth. Will you stand with me in reverence to the Word of God and read collectively, that is together, the first 13 verses of this fifth chapter of Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain.
And when he was sat, the disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall call the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely
for my sake.
Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is that they were good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men.
Let us remain standing and let us pray together the prayer that the Lord gave his disciples, and I believe that also for this day, that is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Please be seated. I'm asking our brother to play to a tune that we know, number 13. You play 13 and we'll sing 301 because it's a great hymn, and I trust you'll get a lot out of number 301.
My people
to hold me on God and
to Luke 14, the chapter of Luke, and we want to talk about this matter of our Lord asking a question. This is about the 33rd question that our Lord God, our Lord Jesus, had asked. It's always quite interesting to me, the questions the Lord asked. Some of us ask a lot of questions. In this day, you're not supposed to ask many questions, but I still ask questions. And so we have in this last two verses of chapter 14 of Luke the metaphor of using the salt, and some of you already know what salt does, but just hang on, and you might find some things a little new to us. The Lord Jesus said, "Salt is good," verse 34, "but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear." Let us pray. Now, our Father, you have brought us here this morning, and we thank you providentially, your blessings to us in so many ways, spirit, soul, and body. And as we come this morning, we do have needs. And if we think that we have not any needs, we are mistaken. And so may the blessed Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest, this morning minister to us. Take this passage, Lord, we pray, and bear it home to our hearts, that we might recognize afresh what it means to be salty, and that we might abstain from being earthy. So, our Father, guide us, we pray, and we thank you once again for our Lord Jesus, and for this precious word, for salvation in him, and for the guest and the comfort of the Spirit of God, making it all possible. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this passage having to do with salt. And, you know, you may look at it and say, well, I don't think there's anything I can learn different. I know that it's a preservative, and I know that it's a flavor, and so what? Now, don't get that impression, friend. You might be surprised that you don't know that all there is about some of these blessed truths. This is the Word of God. And I asked the question to myself, which are you? Are you salty or are you earthy? And this is a kingdom parable. And if you say, I'm a child of the King, then we have described you, the Bible has described you in the Beatitudes. And after the Beatitudes are a description of us as kingdom children, he says, you're salt. Oh, you mean there's a connection? Oh, indeed. Well, what's the connection? That's what we will look about. The first thing he says about salt, that it's good. And the word actually in the Greek is it is excellent. It's an excellent thing. So I went to my medical doctor. He says, no, you did that. Now, to be careful, the salt. And he's right, I believe. And he's telling you that it can affect the heart and blood pressure and so forth and so on. And I think he's right. But when he says, don't use any, then I'd say, well, you know, the Lord God said it's excellent. And so moderation would come into hand without trying to dispute the dietitians and the nutritionists. You say, well, the Lord Jesus wasn't a nutritionist. Now, hold on a little bit. You don't minimize our Lord Jesus. You know, he's God in the flesh. He's the creator, sustainer. Don't minimize you if you think your nutritionist knows more than the Lord Jesus. Be careful, because he's God in the flesh. And so, as we are sold, and our spirit, soul, and body. I have this, I shared with one of the ladies this week. My wife kids me. I said, now, you know, take care of yourself. Get some good rest. And the animals, when they're sick, they lie down and they rest. And she said, you know, you're acting like a doctor. Let me say something to you. If we are spirit, and we're soul, and we're body, does that mean I have to shut my mouth about physical things? It's in the Word of God. Rest in the Lord. And so don't think that just because somebody has a corner on a thing that nobody else has any opinion. We do some reading about these matters. And so, but I want to tell you something. It's an excellent thing, and you can't live without it. What? You can't live without salt. Because there is what is called the electroconductivity that goes through this body. And you have to have salt in order to have it work properly. Now, this is right out of the press. Right out of the news. And I thought, oh, I'll share that with the people. And this comes from, let's see, where's the publication?
University of Iowa.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
And he has a study about salt. And he said, study suggests that salt might be nature's antidepressant. We all talk about antidepressant there, and depression. So, well, that's good. I want to see what it says about salt as a natural antidepressant from the University of Iowa. Most people consume far too much salt. And a University of Iowa researcher has discovered one potential reason that we crave for it. And this is interesting. He says that it might put us in a better mood. Excuse me a minute. Put us in a better mood. You say, well, come on. The University of Iowa psychologist Kim Johnson and his colleagues found in their research that when rats are deficient in sodium chloride, that salt, at a common table salt, they shy away from activities they normally would enjoy, like drinking a sugary substance or pressing a bar that stimulates a pleasant sensation in their brains. Quote, things that normally would be pleasurable for rats didn't elicit the same degree of relish, which leads us to believe that a salt deficiency and the craving associated with it can induce one of the key symptoms associated with depression, Dr. Johnson said. And so the University of Iowa researchers can't say it's a full-blown depression, that it is a full-blown depression, because several criteria factors into such a diagnosis, but a loss of pleasure in normal pleasing activity is one of the most important features of psychological depression. And the idea that salt is a natural mood elevating substance that could help explain why we are so tempted to over-ingest it, even though it's known to contribute to high blood pressure and heart disease and other health problems. I could go on and read the rest of it, but I think you got the point, didn't you? You know, I was thinking of my dad when he was with us. And my wife would make a palatable meal. And the first thing he would do would grab for this. You didn't even taste it, Dad. You never met anybody like that, did you? Hey, Tom, I didn't ask you to. But some people do. Now, I want you to be careful, because I think there's some scientific evidence that it, too much of it can, like anything else, moderation is what I would say to you and myself. And so, do you know that wars were fought over sodium chloride? There were places in the country that had it and others didn't have it, and they fought over wars for salt. Do you know that the Roman soldiers were paid their salary by salt? You see, how can you prove that? What does the word salary mean to you? S-A-L-T? Huh? It's a very viable thing. And our Lord God, he said, listen, salt is an excellent thing. But if salt loses its savor, wherewith shall I be seasoned? Oh, that's a question, Lord. He said, it's neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm going to say to you at the very start, those last few words are punctuated in the Greek, you and you pay attention. That's what the Greek says, verse 35. You and you pay attention. Boy, Lord, you want us to really get this, don't you? He said, that's right. Because there's this possibility that one can be salty or earthy. You got to ask the question, am I salty or am I earthy? You were talking about a metaphor here. So you're going to have to shift gears from the talking about literally. You're going to have to shift gears. You know, you've read enough of history to know that before refrigeration was around, that salt was used to preserve meat. But not only back then, we still do it. And that is, if you've had southern ham, you know that it's preserved with has a lot of salt in it. What does it do? It prevents rotting. What? Salt. I just had a tooth extracted about a month ago, and my dentist said, now, I want you to rinse twice your mouth with salt water. I thought, man, we're living a day of sophistication. why couldn't he have, you know, given me some other idea? And I said, you know, that's strange. My daughter just said to me that I was having some pain. She said, you ought to try some salt water. And the dentists really do say that salt water is a real disinfectant. And my point is, if it does that, what does it do as far as the matter spiritually, morally, and so forth? What application is it? Well, what happens if it loses its savor? Wherewith shall it be seasoned? You can't reseason it. Well, it's very difficult to do that. And so, it is not only a preservative, but it's a flavoring, and it's delightful. I use it, and I trust you do too. But it enhances. I even put it on my cantaloupe and watermelon. It enhances. Well, enough of that. Let's go on to what the Word of God is. And that is, contextually, this and three times in the Gospels, it speaks about, contextually, the first is a description of kingdom children, the Beatitudes, and then it follows up, ye are the salt. And if you look at those descriptions of the Beatitudes, and it's worthy to look at it, our plain people, they spend all their time in the Sermon on the Mount. That's basically their Bible. Some of us don't spend a lot of time in Matthew 5. We have, though. And then it speaks about the kingdom children. They are poor in spirit, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are descriptions of people who say they know the Lord. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm in verse 7, now 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, and the very next thing he says, contextually in these passages in the Gospels, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It's very unkind when someone says, you know him, he's worthless. He's just worthless. That's very unkind. But spiritually speaking, if your thing is earthly, then the Word of God says plainly, you're worthless. In God's sight, you're worthless. I don't care if you have a profession or whatever you do. That's pretty harsh. Well, I just thought, if I have a little cut in the finger, take a little salt and put on it, rub it in. What happens? Oh, that burns. That's bitey. That hurts. That's what salt will do. And it bites. Why didn't he say, you are the honey of the earth? Why didn't he say, you are the sugar of the earth? That's what this generation wants. They want honey and sugar, spiritually speaking. When he says, no, it is a biting. It is a thing that it really people don't like, spiritually speaking. They want nice things. They want to be positive in our service. Now, next we'll have the Choir's Quartet, and they'll sing for us. And we all clap our hands. Then we're going to have a message of the preacher. No more than 15 minutes, preacher. 10 minutes the most. Okay. 10 minutes message. And we'll have some clapping time and we'll just have a great time. Any gospel? Excuse me? Did they preach the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, repentance and faith? Necessity of it? No. I mean, what do you need that for? We're all okay. This is the generation that's like that, friends. And my heart weeps. I don't know if yours does. As an old man, I weep over it. Evangelical, so-called evangelical churches. I mean, they fit right into the idea that they want the honey. They want sugar. They don't want salt. They don't want biting preachers. What? let us be sweet and biting. Because if we have the love of Jesus Christ, we have love of the brethren, don't we? And we can love one another. But there's a necessity of giving the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ. And it says you need to turn from your sins. And you are a sinner. And you're, as Romans 1, I'll tell you, friends, this generation, if you think I'm exaggerating, you look in the last days, Romans chapter 1, and you'll find that it is true. This is how things are, rottening. And you say, oh, come on. Give us some nice things. No, let's treat it like it is. It is in the first chapter. He talks about it, how things are, and he said, you know, he said, I don't want you to have ignorant or be ignorant about these things, for he said that he wasn't ashamed to give the gospel of Christ. And we tell sinners that they need to repent and turn from their sins and trust Jesus Christ, or they'll go to hell. They say, oh, wait a minute, that's judging, and just, he said, this is what we need to do. But he goes on down, he tells the wrath of God, verse 18, I'm in Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, and here it goes, you want to know about our generation, friends? I'm sorry. But you better listen to this. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were dark, and heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made unto the corruptible man, and to be birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor themselves, their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, and burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and to do those things which are not convenient, and filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without, oh, come, I am weary already so much, but God says this is the way it is. I may not like it, but I have to face the truth as well as you do. And that is, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, you know. That's a sad commentary. This little world is rotten, and it needs salt. It doesn't need your earthiness. It doesn't need your smartness. It needs Christ. You see, if you don't have Christ, you're not even salty at all. It is through the new birth that you become salty. And if you said, I am born again, now watch it, because it's easy, as the Bible speaks to you, you won't lose your salvation, but you can become a place where blow the whistle on you, and it says, Robbins, on the bench. Okay, next man, take a place. You don't think God can blow the whistle on you and me and say, you know, you're worthless as far as any service, you're pleasing yourself, you're living for this old world, you're earthly, blow the whistle on the bench. A Dachamus. No! Well, then you better pay attention. You and you and you pay attention. This is the Lord God saying about Saul. And in the Greek, it is that very pointed. He says, I want, if you have ears. You have ears? Can you hear? Well, then he says, hear. Wow! Does he really mean it that way? Yes, he does, friends. And I think it's individually and corporately, as a church. As a church. Now, you can make up your mind. You want to be a church that you're winsome in every aspect and entertaining like this generation is, and not given the full gospel or given the whole counsel of God and just play around, have a nice little time, we'll play church. You know, I want to say this. I'm, as an elderly man, it grieves me when I see folk who are aged people and all they're concerned is about their life now as in retirement, so to speak, and they go to church and they listen to their sermons, but there's nothing about them. There's no activity about it. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Yes, I do. Yeah, I go regularly. But there's no favoring, no standing out, but just living till I die. That isn't what the Bible teaches. Now, if you're in that mode, you better be careful. You can say, you know, you're worthless. You're not salty at all. And you say, well, I know the Lord. But if you're not giving forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, where God has placed you, He has determined your habitation, your boundaries. That's where you're to give your light and your salt. You can run all over the world if you want to, but if you don't take care of home base. And I say it to this church needs to be taking care of home base. If you have children, you take care of your children. Any man who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. Take care of home base. If you have extra, give it to the world. Well, that's kind of hard, but that's what the Bible teaches. Am I supposed to be interested in the world? Yes, you are. You can pray as well as I can pray. And if you have opportunity, do it. But don't neglect your children, your own folk, and let the church go bankrupt. He has on the desk two or three pieces of recent literature how churches are bankrupting, how they're being foreclosed, church buildings. That's churchianity. And it says the secret is, and their future is house churches. Do you know you're in one? What are you going to do with a big cathedral when you can't pay the expenses for it? What are you going to do with it? Or you give it back to the company. And so, he didn't say that we are to be the sugar of the earth. I wanted to tell you that. And there's three ways you can look at this. I was talking to a man, a businessman this week, and I said, you know, he's really concerned about the present administration. So am I. Seems every time I turn around, it's going contrary to the Word of God. Now, I'm not political, but it just grieves me to know and to see how things are going almost every day. Something that is some feature that we've had in the past, and sign the bill, sign it away. Are you grieved? See, what are you going to do about it? You're going down in Washington, D.C. in a pack and stomp your feet and raise your hand and raise your fist and so forth? No, but I tell you what you can do. You can let your influence, salty, affect around about those that you make contact with. Yes, sir. How are you, Mr. Banker? How are you, Mr. Lawyer? Hey, how are you, Doc? How are you doing? Hey, I need to talk to you about something. You know you have a precious soul. You know that we're sinners. And if he says, no, I'm a pretty good man. Yeah, you're a pretty good man. We all think we're pretty good. Aren't we pretty good guys? Hey, aren't we good guys? No, we're not. Every man thinks he's good. But you need to see that he, as he is, really a sinner. And that Christ died for sinners. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. See, that's harsh. I'm sorry. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus. Salt. It's good. It's excellent. But if it's lost its savor and becomes insipid, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Well, that's a good question, Lord. Sounds to me like back in those days when they had salt that came from the Dead Sea or something like that, put it out in the bank and let it dry, had some sand in it and so forth. But if it rained on that, it would denaturalize it and the salt would go out. So it's salt like that, just crystal, so to speak. He said, really, it's no good. And he's speaking metaphorically. It's just no good. It's not fit, verse 35, not fit for the land. Nor yet for the dunghill, the manure pile. Not even good enough for the manure pile. He's speaking metaphorically. You mean, Lord, that that if I'm not careful, maybe I have a profession of faith. You see, lose yourself. I'm not talking, I think you're eternally saved, you're regenerated, forever, but I'm saying there's a profession. I am a Christian. I walked the aisle. I did some, made a decision. But if you haven't really been saved, friends, you went through the maneuvering, you can apostatize. And you can be baptized and all those things and go to church and get your pins that you've been to Sunday school for all these years, didn't miss any attendance. Some of us went through that. You say, what happened to him? What happened to my kids? I brought them up the right way. You sure you did? Because it's one thing to talk, it's another thing to live it. Now that's getting pretty close. Should I duck under the pulpit and I preach that? Because we can mouth things, can't we, friends? You ought not to do this. And they'd look at it and say, well, I can see daddy's. Here's mom. You don't think kids do that? You don't think kids do that? See, I wonder why my kids aren't saved. Well, I'm rather pleased that God has been working in my family, but I'm not convinced they're all safe and sound and secure. And grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they're watching. If I die and have a regular funeral, the undertaker says, now we give 250 of these little cards saying something about him. Do you want more than that? Why 250, sir? He said, well, that's usually the average influence a person has, about 250 people. And people do watch. And they snicker. Said, what a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. Talk to us like that, and then doesn't even practice it. I watch him. I see him next door. I hear him. I watch him. Said, well, God says, you know, if you've lost your earthy and you say you've been saved, are you really? See, you haven't usually better listen to this. Are you really? Maybe you just think you are. Maybe you're assuming. You know what assumption does to you, don't you? I want to say something. He said, is it worthless? I must tell you this. When I was a young fellow, and I think it's an important illustration, so listen up. When I was a young fellow, in third grade, the folk we were renting a home from, there was a farmer, and he said to me, as I walked home from school one day, and he said, Johnson. Well, my name's not Johnson, but my dad's name is John. He didn't know my name, and he called me Johnson. He said, Johnson, would you like to work, help me out? I have cattle to bring in, and it'll take care of the rent and for your home if you come help me after school on Saturday. So, yeah, that's a good idea. Third grader, and you know, pay for the rent for the home. I said, yeah, I'll do that. I could do that. He told me, and I worked with him. He's an old man then. He's about 60 years old then. He was. So I have contact with people for about 140 years. That makes me old, Bob. 140 years contact. He was born right after the Civil War, and he knew Civil War veterans. So what? He said, we use salt. That's what, so what? He said, we use salt for fertilizer. Now, that, to a kid, that didn't make sense. It may not make sense to you. Say, he did what? Salt kills. Oh, yeah. But remember, he didn't pour it on like you do fertilizer today. He bought it in bags, and he put it in the corn planter, and they put the salt. And salt, by the way, if you ever get places you can't afford fertilizer or something like that, buy some salt and scatter it thinly. It has fertilization. Yes, it does. It indeed does. Check it out. And just don't use a whole lot of it. And it will do lots for your garden and so forth if you can't afford regular fertilizer. What did I tell you that for? Because it said you're the salt of the land. We notice verse 35, it's talking about the soil. It's talking about foundation. Yes. It's not talking about the salt of the meat. It's not talking about the salt of something else. It says salt for the soil. So metaphorically, what does that mean? From the very foundation, from the very bottom, we consist of the elements of the earth. And it will fertilize all the precious Word of God. Friends, I just want to say to you, if you think church fellowship is just an optional thing, it's so necessary. And we used that passage, our brother used that passage in Hebrews 10. And I thought it was so precious, and as he gave it last Wednesday night. How precious that in the fellowship of the saints there is faith emphasized, that your faith be increased. And that is verse 22 of Hebrews 10. And 23 says in Hebrews 10 that it also increases one's hope. I mean, you can get down the mouth if you see things like they are today. And you see how things are decaying and how God has been put out of institutions, government and schools and all that stuff. It's just, I almost can't handle the news anymore, you say. Yeah, but you get it together, there's hope. So there's faith, there's hope, and there's love. And it says that, you know, and we fellowship together that when you see the Lord and the coming of the Lord, that it gives us comfort. Don't look at church service as just an optional thing. Maybe I'll go tonight if it doesn't rain. Come and expect your faith to be increased in hope and increased in love among the brethren. Brethren, we need to love each other. And I have that comfort of knowing our blessed Lord is soon coming to take us home. Well, so you can use it for fertilizer. And that's interesting. Lord, if I understand this metaphorically, that we are salt when we know Christ, is that right? He said, yes, that's right. And he said, if we take this blessed book and we study it, that it's the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, that it strengthens us, foundationally it strengthens us, so that we can go out in this world and look up and say, I understand that though things are degenerating, morality is just rampant, I understand that it's the gospel they need, and talk about Jesus more and more, and talk about him, tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That'll take care of the rotting that's gone on, friends. He also mentions the light. We're the light of the world. Boy, that's just not using just nice little stories about it. That is very in a dark and degenerating world. We need the glorious gospel of Christ, salvation of the Lord Jesus. Now, friends, take it to you and you and you. He said, if you have ears, you listen. Wow, Lord, that's pretty something. You say, well, I don't know. My little scouting won't mount much. Well, if we had ice on the sidewalk and we'd take sodium chloride and we'd spread it on the sidewalk, it might be, it would take care of the icy sidewalk if you had to walk out this morning. Salt melts icy hearts. Scatter the gospel. You know, we're here and you're there and we're here for a purpose. That is to live for Christ. Oh, no! I live here to have a job, a home, and a wife, and family, and kids. You know, that's there are extra benefits. But we're to be salty as the Lord wants us. We're to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Do you know that? And our citizenship is not here. And this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And so are you. Are you earthy? Are you salty? You have to ask yourself that question. If you don't know the Lord Jesus savingly, you're still earthy. You know, we talk about putting a little. Despise not the day of little things. One little boy, he gave his lunch, relinquished it, and that lunch fed 5,000. Despise not the day of small things. One little girl, she said, to that great man in Elisha's day. She's the one that says, I know a man that can help you. A godly man. One little girl recommended Naaman to talk to Elisha. Yes. So don't think that your influence doesn't amount to much. Indeed it does, friend. Indeed it does. Remember Esther? She saved the whole nation from being destroyed. One person. Oh, I don't have... Wait a minute. God made you and he loved you enough and you presented the gospel and he gave you faith and he's given you a transformation. You've been saved. You've got a job to do. do it for the Lord Jesus and learn more about Him and love Him. And wherever the Lord puts you, let the salt work in the lives and let the light shine. You know, I want to say this. Is there a better place than this? That is being salty. You know, if you be used to purify and prevent the rottening by the giving of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll be a blessing. I trust that you'll see that it's possible to be worthless. You're worthless. No! You're worthless. You just live for yourself. You're not living for me. You're self, self, self. You're not reading the Bible. You're hardly praying. But you go to church maybe once in a while. You know, that's not it, friends. That's just not it. And he said, you better pay attention. The last few words of verse 35. You know, if you've got ears to hear, you better listen up. It's that important. To have Christ and to have love and to have a loving relationship with other brethren, that is a glorious thing. John Bunyan, what a rascal. He really had a foul mouth. I don't know if you've ever read John Bunyan's life, but he had a foul mouth. Now, what happened to John Bunyan that he took care of that foul mouth of John Bunyan? The Lord saved him. He became salt. And how about John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace? What was he like? You know, he's a slave trader. He was. And he got caught in his own trap, though. A black lady made him a slave. But despicable things. And I say to you that if you have salvation in Christ, dear friends, it's the only preservation that's possible in that you know Christ. I'm asking you to examine your own heart this morning as we return to the hymnal and sing a hymn that I believe is worthy of consideration, and that is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. It is hymn number 594.
This morning, we're grateful for your precious word. We believe that you'll take it and use it. We especially ask for those that may be in our midst who know not the Lord Jesus Christ savingly, who may still think that they're okay, and but they need to know that they're sinners. And there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. And we need our Lord Jesus Christ savingly. So may thy Spirit work in hearts effectually and save them.